And welcome to another episode of Four Tims and a Podcast. And we can say something on here that we haven't been able to say for over 2 years. Celtic are once again the champions of Scotland. So no doubt there'll be a few sore heads still the day. It's about 6 o'clock, the day after we won it. It'll be a 1-each draw up at Tannadice. It's been a long time coming, but to get it over the line, I think, was a very emotional and enjoyable day for people yesterday. I'll just get right into it. Danny, how do you feel Ange Postecoglou in his first season has won a League and Cup double? Astonishing, really.
It's remarkable for where we were at the start of the season to where we are now. Just all the congratulations and credit to the manager, the players, the backroom staff and the club. It's been really a bounce back from where we were 12 months ago. Just great praise for the manager, really. He's come in, he had a vision, he never wavered from that vision. He kept going the whole time, and you know, he told us what he wanted to do. His first day, he was to put a team out there that the team are proud of, that plays this sort of football, and that's what he's done. And you know, it's not even taken him a year to win the league. And of course we clinched it the 37th game, but it's, you know, as soon as we took as soon as we went to top of the league, we've not looked back. And you need to give him and the players an awful lot of credit for that. They've been absolutely brilliant all season long, even when it looked a bit sticky at times. You know, we were on here saying, you know, you need to see him get his own players, and you need to see him give him more time in the training ground with the players. And you know how they responded to not just to win the league, but to win the first trophy of the season as well in the League Cup was massive. And it just shows you what a great job he's doing, and what an even better job he's going to do, given more time and more results.
Darren, as Danny says there, it's an incredible achievement. I think back in the 31st of July when we lost our first game, a lot of people were doubting his abilities, were doubting where the club was going, and I thought myself that we were in for a couple of years, if not more, of no success, no trophies, and I didn't think we would get to the Europa League at certain stages as well. But for me, it's been my favourite league title win. I don't know about yourself, obviously, when we had the Wim Janssen season, I was only one. I know people think I'm about 50 because of my voice, but I'm only 26. So, Dan, where does it rank for you?
Tough to rank it. Like I say, it's on here the other day, Tony, I think it might be the most impressive one since Wim Janssen's. But it's, for me, it's right up there with the most enjoyable. Like, I think the job that Ange has done and the players and everybody to a man, like from the players that were still there after what happened last season to your coaching staff like John Kennedy, Gavin Stratton, Stevie Woods, like they just deserve this so much. Like, and the fans deserve it as well. The fans went through hell last season. We got a reputation as the ones who probably earlier than most were just fed up with how it was going and could see what was happening in front of us. But for Ange to come in and do the job he's done, I think, I know, like, we were linked with Eddie Howe for however long, and he's obviously doing a good job down at Newcastle now, but even if he'd have come in, I don't see how he could have really topped this. Like, because to get that league back was obviously the priority. The fact we've got a League Cup's a massive bonus as well. As you said on here the other day, like, people going about Europa League, like, we performed poorly in it, but we actually, like, the group stage we get 9 points there, and it was a tough group. Like, I don't think it was that bad. But aye, just to get that league back was, it's beyond my expectations, because, look, you don't want to talk about the opposition too much, but you were up against a team who last season didn't they lose a game, and this season have gotten to a Europa League final. So it's not like we've beat a terrible team. Like, we've won it emphatically, and as Danny said, since we went top, we've not looked back. Like, there was a lot of questions asked even early on. Like you say, the Hearts game was obviously disappointing, but Celtic teams have lost at Tynecastle before. But you look at the first six league games, like, he's lost 3 out of the first 6. Like, the away games, you had that stupid stat going back to February that we hadn't won an away game. There was a lot of pressure on, and the players have just never really doubted the manager's methods. The manager's no doubted that the coach and staff have all sort of stayed behind it, and it's proven to be the one that's got us to the league title. Like, you even look back at times like that Livingston game at Celtic Park when Jackie Marcus missed the penalty to put us top of the league. Like, although we didn't get top of the league that day, the team just stuck to what they knew and overturned a 6-point deficit, and like, we're 4 points ahead going into the last game, and it's beyond it, and I expected, Tony, and aye, if not my favourite, it's right up there.
I mean, it's fair what you say, and it's right to mention your biggest rivals. I mean, Rangers, I think, have only lost 3 games the whole season, and 2 of them were against us. So, I mean, you can see what they're doing in Europe, that we're up against really tough opposition who were 6 points ahead of us and looking quite relentless. And to be just a bit perfect for September to now, 25 wins, 6 draws, 0 defeats, is incredible for a team that was just kind of flung together. But I mean, I was watching a clip the day and it was showing you the early season highlights. It was Christie and Edward were in it. I mean, these were top players that we lost. Scott Brown, we've kind of spoken about this before, but to bring in so many players who have all contributed, I mean, that deadline day, I think Vickers signed about midnight and he's arguably your player of the season. I know McGregor won it and he's been excellent as well. I mean, just it's been so enjoyable. And last night you could see, I think the manager was quite emotional as well. I think he knew that the job had been done. He says he's kind of put everything into it. And as I mean, for one guy to travel from Japan to this city, which is mental at the best of times, be tasked taking over a team that finished 25 points behind the previous champions and told you really need to win the league. And then win a double and get us into the Europa League. And I thought he put on, as I say, is a good display. The only disappointment was the Bodo Glimt game. But again, I think they're a decent side, just even though they've got a stupid name. I think that's what led to a lot of the slagging. But they were a good side with a very good coach. But Andy, where does the season rank for you in terms of most enjoyable?
It's right up there. I think, like you say, there's just for where we've came and for a lot, like we spoke about it right at the very beginning of coming to the end of last season when we knew the title was done and moving into the start of the season. We spoke about it many times on here between ourselves. No doubt everybody listening was the same with their pals and about just the mess that we were in. It really, I mean, I was sort of consigned to listen, we're just going to need a year to get things right again. We want to say about Rangers, I think the football fans amongst us can concede that they're not quite as shite as they once were. They're a half decent side. You don't get a European final if you're no. So that just makes it much more impressive. Like, we can stop pretending that we're up against the same draw that we were gubbing week in, week out, anytime we played them. I think the fact that they've reached that really does sort of emphasise the job that Ange has done. When you take into account even the early season results, when there was still sort of tweaks here and there and getting things right, it just, when you really sort of take a step back and look at it, it just makes it much more impressive. But like I say, Tony, we were conceded to it. I mean, I said at the start of the season, I thought if we managed to either lift one of the cups, so like Scottish Cup or the League Cup, then I thought that would have been good going for a new manager coming in for a rebuild. And I thought that would maybe be as far as anybody would be able to take us just for the state that we were in, because it really was a fucking mess. Even I've written for the fitness levels of the players to the fact that we were losing some of our best players in Ayer and Edward Christie, like we were losing these guys as well. And then just the morale, the way things were, the sort of fractured relationship that fans had with the club, like everything was gone. There really wasn't anything to feel good about looking at the club other than what we'd done previously. That's really all we had. But the manager came in and, like you say, stuck to his guns. There was a few wobbles early on, and like we expected that, but we expected a full season of wobbles. We expected a season of tweaks and getting things right, but he's just built on it. He said it, I think he watched in one of his interviews a day, and so he was saying, he says he's really sort of crammed 2 seasons into one. He's crammed a rebuild and a title win into a year, and I think it was Darren that mentioned it there. I think he's right. Like, whether it was Eddie Howe or whether it was anybody that was linked to the job, I don't see how any other manager tops that. I don't see how anybody could have done it any better. It's into dating, even dating in a title race, like, when the going does get tough at times, when results don't go your way, when games are getting nervy and you've got sort of last minute winners for Tony Ralston, guys that were people had sort of long gone for the club, like they had them away, I don't know, playing in the Scottish Championship or something, like it just shows you the job that he's done. But unbelievable as a season, it's one that will live long in the memory. I mean, I don't really know in terms of a league win how you can top it, but in terms of a Celtic and the competitions, like we're going to next season in the Champions League, hopefully we can keep players like Jota and Carter Vickers, and then I trust in Ange to build on the squad and give us even more good times. But utterly phenomenal. Just the relief to get it out of the line was one of the biggest things for me, Tony. Just that although it was done and it was done for weeks, and even I'd been saying that, but just the relief for it to be sort of, for the trophy to actually get handed, for the players to get a big billboard that say champions, just to get that done, and just know that they've actually achieved it, and you could see what it meant to the players, the fans, everybody. It just, it means so much, and the manager understands that, and he's not just put sort of Celtic back at the top of the table. He gets what it means to fans. He's put sort of, obviously, sort of the fans back at the club's heart again, and I think that's so much to do with the manager and what he's done.
Oh, it was excellent. I was at Celtic Park last night, and it was just total unity behind the team, behind the manager, and it was good to see the club at that level again, where you're kind of, everybody's kind of pulling in the one direction, as opposed to last year, where everything was a bit over the place. Just sad, it'll be a great day to actually see the likes of McGregor lifting his first title, and we've also got Anne's lifting the title, so I'm sure it'll be an emotional and happy time. But I think even when we won 9 in a row, the season was curtailed. I think we were 13 cleared at the time, and as much as I'm sure we all had a bevy in the house, it wasn't the same. But it's good to come out of the COVID season where the winners last year didn't have anybody in the stadium when they won it, and now when we won it this year, 10 titles at the last 11, there's going to be 60,000 days there, and then I'm sure the pubs and clubs and whatever else around the world will be filled with people enjoying it. So I think last year kind of taught us not to take this for granted, and I don't think anybody is. It's funny, obviously, I think we put in our Twitter the day we've to go in, and there's a press conference after the game on Saturday with Ange, and I'm going to it, and I don't know how many ways you can thank somebody, so I've thanked him quite a few different ways in these when I've asked him questions. So anybody listens, get any good questions for Ange, please let me know, and I'll try and ask him. Andy, if you looked at our group chat from when Postecoglou was first announced, we probably wouldn't be getting into the press conferences.
I think, like you say, Tony, I think it's partly it became, there was obviously the disappointment and not getting how, and then we knew how bad last season was, and like I say, like, can he emphasise the job he's done? It was the fear, because we had already conceded that it was going to need a rebuild, and then I don't care who it is, unless they live in that end of the world, nobody in Scotland's going to pretend to me that they knew this was going to happen. They seen this coming when that manager came in. Like, he was somebody who we all said we didn't know who he was. That was really as far as it came. We didn't know too much about him, and when that happens, you've seen it in football before. A lot of us have seen these stories before where they often sort of fall flat in their face and the club have made an asset. But in fact, listen, our board have done that many a time. So that's why it could have been. And obviously, there was a link to the City group. So there was a lot of fear. But we were, listen, Tony, we were all happy to be proven wrong. And even, listen, at times there's blind faith as well, there's everything else. But I think a lot of people found it difficult when that announcement was made, even the sort of, even the most faithful, the most drunk, I say, like, fans would have found it to be hard to sort of call this happening this season. But it just shows you, Tony, like, the task that what the guys achieved is, it really can't be underestimated to do that in a season, and to sort of have the title. I mean, it's, although it was mathematically done, like I said, and you've always a wee bit nervy. Like, it's been done for weeks. They conceded it weeks ago. They really did, and I think that it just, what he's managed to do is honestly unbelievable. I can't put it into words. There's no enough adjectives in the world to describe how he's made us feel, and what he's managed to achieve. But like I say, I think with the start of the season, it wasn't just no knowing him. I think it was just us. We were all wanting a bit of comfort and having faith and having a name in who we felt that could have dug us out that hole. But listen, I'm glad it was Postecoglou. I'm glad we were proven wrong, and that's absolutely fine by me to, but as I say, all four of us to be sitting there and admit that we were wrong when we said we were fearful for him coming in.
Danny, obviously the main prize of winning the league is the title itself, but to also get back into the Champions League. We've not featured in it since it would have been the 17-18 season, so it's been 4 years since we were last, 5 years since we were last in the competition, sorry. How good is it to get back into that? Obviously, you get the glamour ties, which I don't want. I want the easiest route possible to try and qualify out the group, which is obviously a while away. But I'm looking forward to seeing Ange in the Champions League. I know he won't adjust his style of play, so it's going to be interesting to say the least.
Aye, but I think he's earned... Obviously, you don't want to take downs all the time, but we've done that. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he goes in there and gets done in three or four times in the group, that's already happened. Do you know what I mean? But folk will make it as if it's the worst thing that's ever happened to Celtic, but it's happened three or four times before. So, he's, do you know what? He's going to create, he's going to build a team over the summer, I think, that's capable of winning the Champions League or anything like that, but capable of getting in there and competing. He's not going to change how he's going to play. So, folk can, that are planning their, you know, pragmatic. If you'd be more pragmatic, they're probably going to be disappointed. But no, he's going to have a very good go at it. You know, he had his punching, you know, and amongst Leverkusen and Betis. I mean, we really should have went through in the Europa League this year. We really should have qualified. We were actually in position to win, apart from the Leverkusen the home game, we were in position to win the other five. So it's probably about, we probably underachieved in Europe this year compared to where we, how we finished up. But no, it's going to be interesting. I think it's just, that's the kind of bonus, isn't it, winning the league, as you get to play in the Champions League. And the fact that they're straight in now, there's no excuse to no give them money, no give them resources to go and get a squad together that's capable of competing in the Champions League. And really what they should be doing with this money is spending it to secure the league title next season as well. They need to get a better squad. My heart can't take going to this 37th game again next season, so... They need to spend the money wisely. I think he will. I don't think he's made a bad purchase yet. And, you know, what he's done with his source, the funds that he's had so far, he's created a league-winning team, that League and Cup-winning double team that really was a fit striker away from competing for the treble. I mean, if Giakoumakis is fit for that semi-final, we're talking about getting Saturday out of the road so we can concentrate on Hearts next week. But... it wasn't to be in that front, but the manager's done a great job, and I can't wait to see. I'm a wee bit like you. I've done the glamour tie and all that, and we've had the glamour just gives the three easiest teams out each pot, although unfortunately there's a chance that we might not get the easiest team in pot one, but I don't think that will happen. But just what Andy said about people wanting a name in that, I think what makes the us, and I know the three, four of us wanted it, wasn't necessarily a big name, it was just somebody to get behind. You know, we felt that we couldn't get behind the previous manager for whatever reason, and we just wanted to get behind. Obviously, when they announced Ange Postecoglou, we were all looking at each other as if, who is this guy? But after a couple of weeks, I think we were all fairly on board. I think the four of us were like, you know what, we actually can get behind this guy. He looks like he's wanting to build something special, and it's been a hell of a season so far, Tony, and I can't wait. I already can't wait for next season. Part of me... last night at full time, I was thinking, get Saturday out of the road and I can kind of move on with my life for a couple of months, because the fit was taking some toll on me in the last couple of months. And but now that I've had the day to kind of thingy, I'm starting to think, no, I can't wait for next season all over again.
No, I'll not be wishing the football away after obviously not getting to it for such a long period of time. But I know what you mean. I'm glad we don't need to get through any qualifiers. I mean, that is an absolute fucking godsend. Because see, I know there's a guy, Miravchik67 on Twitter, who's excellent. And see, trying to work out where you're going and who you might play. And, oh, it's fucking, it's torture. So it's, I seen he put that thread and just basically says, this is who we'll play in the qualifiers, thread in. So I was delighted for him. He can get the summer off as well. So, Dan, it'll be good just to know exactly who we're going to play. We'll not be waiting about to find out what competition we're in. We're straight into the biggest club competition in the world, and hopefully we can win some games in it and compete.
Absolutely, and I don't see why we shouldn't. Like, as Danny said, in the Europa League up against Betis and Leverkusen, like, apart from the home game against Leverkusen, where their keeper was arguably man of the match, like, we did put ourselves in a winning position, and obviously we beat Betis at home as well. So, like, I know... it's always that way. Do you want the glamour draw, or do you want the sort of easier route? But I think it's the way UEFA is sort of shaping up the Champions League now, it's very tough to get a sort of easier group. But I think Angel fancy it. I think that's why, it's going to sound weird, but I think that's why we lost the games, like, away in Betis and away in Leverkusen. I think we were just so committed to playing the way Ange wanted to, and sort of kept going for it, and eventually got picked off. But that was still in the early stages. Like, this is going to be an Ange team that's 6 months smeared down the line. Well, 12 months more down the line when it comes to Champions League group stages. But as you say, it's all the benefits there. Like, I know it'll be disappointing for not have any sort of competitive Celtic games for 2.5 months, but like, it's the cost of success at this point. And we've seen ourselves come a cropper in these qualifiers the last few seasons. So it's just brilliant. It'll be brilliant for Ange. Ange is the main man. Everybody knows it. As Danny said, he's been the man that's running most of the transfers, you've got to think. Like, I know there's a few that people think maybe upstairs had a say in, but Ange is the man at Celtic, and he should be getting into that boardroom just demanding. Not even demanding, he shouldn't have to demand. He should just go in with a list of players or positions that he wants filled, and it should be done like there and then. I know we've been there's been reports that we've got a left back on the way already, so that really should be the way. Same with guys like Jota and Carter Vickers. I know they're both had great seasons. I'm pretty certain they're going to have other offers as well, so it is going to be a decision for them to make. But the fact that we have guaranteed that Champions League group stage for next season just gives them the option and the benefit of us consistently getting to group stages the last few seasons and now having other teams contribute as well. Is that it doesn't look like it'll be a one-off. It does look like the champions will, for the next few years at least, get into the group stage. So that's obviously a massive positive. And not even just to the guys like Jota and Carter Vickers, it's the players that could come in. It just opens up so many more doors to Celtic. It makes the Scottish League look more attractive. And it's I'm delighted to see it. The fans will love it as well. Like, Champions League nights at Celtic Park are just utterly fantastic, no matter who comes to Celtic Park. Like, it'll be great to get the nights back as well. And I think there's just wee added things, like the fact that we'll be playing the Tuesday Wednesday means that we'll still have our Saturday 3 p.m. home games as well, which is something that you sort of miss when you day drop in a Europa League and your Thursday Sunday for most of the season. But no, I'm absolutely delighted, and I know what you say is about the our group chat when Andrew was announced, but I think that was sort of indicative of what we thought was going on at Celtic, where they'd obviously phoned us and told us that they'd promised Eddie Howe a blank canvas and he couldn't get his backroom team up, so he'd walked away. But I think people were just sort of worried because Ange came in, and it wasn't so much about Ange, but it was saying there's no director of football in sight, and then John Kennedy and Gavin Stratton they're being kept in their position, and Steve McManus has been promoted from the B team. Like, it's sort of like, I think people just worried that this club was standing still, and look, there's probably an argument for that. Like, I think we've got extremely lucky in terms of how well everything's worked so far under Ange, and how every signing's been a success. Like, there's a long way to go, but the fact that Champions League money there is now, we should go from strength to strength from here, Tony.
Aye, absolutely. And with the guy Mark Lawwell coming in, you would like to think he's quite a competent person, seeing as he's worked at the City Group for such a long period of time. So aye, it's good to be on another exciting period for the club. Where I think domestically we've been outstanding for 20 odd years. I think we've won 16 of the last 22 titles. We've won 5 trebles since the turn of the century. So it would be good to kind of take a bit of inspiration for the teams like Stratton's team and more so probably Neil's team that done well in Europe. It would be good to make a dent in Europe as well as maintaining that success. That's been the only thing we've kind of struggled with. Don't get me wrong, I think we've had some really tough opponents throughout the years. The only one I thought we really, really should have beaten was Copenhagen, but we made a bit of an arse of that. So, no, but I think it's just exciting for everybody. I would love the manager to sign a long-term deal. I know he's in our own contract and that suits everybody, but I'd really love him to sign like a 4-year deal. And I would assume if the club offered him it in good terms, he would sign it. I don't see him doing what Rodgers done. Famous last words, if he fucks off next season for Leicester. But I just get the feeling he really enjoys it here and he enjoys the project, and hopefully he can keep working and we can keep getting better and better. And it is mad because I think we all did accept that this would be a rebuild season and you probably wouldn't win much. But I think Andy touched on earlier on, he did say it was a 2 seasons in 1, and it has felt like a very long season because there's been so many big moments throughout it. It started so early, it started really early in July, I think. So no, but here we are. I don't really have anything else to add. I need to head out shortly. Just want to do predictions for Motherwell. I'm sure we'll do a big special episode once the league's actually finished. We'll talk about our favourite moments and we might see if people from other podcasts want to come on and join us and have a chat with us then. But is anybody getting else to add before I ask for predictions? I will take that as a no. Danny, prediction for Saturday, not that it really matters that much.
I'm working Saturday morning now, which is cutting because I was maybe going, but I was looking forward to seeing Ange ball up close. I think they'll get in style. I think Motherwell have chucked it. They're already in Europe. And I think Celtic will win 5-0. And I think Kyogo will get a hat-trick. And Dan, though, be turning his head out. Well, a couple of chances Kyogo's missed at the start of the season because he's had a couple of bets on. But 5-0. Kyogo hat-trick. And Hatate will score one. And O'Reilly will get the other.
Dan, what's your prediction?
I think it'll just be a massive party on Saturday. Unfortunately, I'm missing it as well. I'll be in fucking Italy. I'll be thoroughly enjoying myself, and I know I sound a bit depressed when I say that, but I'm absolutely gutted that I'm missing it, obviously. As Darry said, Motherwell season's done already. They confirmed that they're going to finish in Europe this season as well, which is obviously a good achievement for them, given the sort of second half of the season they've had. But I don't know, like, I think Celtic will win the game 3-0, but I feel like Ange might just actually just fully rotate the team. I think you might see guys like Bain and Liam Scales, maybe even guys like Adeguchi in the likes. But I'm delighted for the fact that, like, don't get me wrong, when Dundee United equalised last night, I was sort of just thinking, surely, fuck, this can't go to the last game. So I'm delighted it's no, and the fact that everybody can just enjoy it, we can... I know Ryland's busy with Eurovision, but who knows, maybe Snoop Dogg will turn up, maybe Scott Brown, you never know who will turn up on these days. So it'll be hopefully just a one massive fantastic party, and I hope everybody that's gone and everybody that's watching it and everybody that's in the pub for it after and before it are just going to enjoy it, which would be a fantastic day, because not even just with Celtic losing the league last season, just with what's went on in the world the last few years, I think it's just important that you savour these moments and just enjoy every second of them.
Well, Andy, I think you're going to complete the hat-trick of the four Tims who won't be at the game on Saturday.
That's correct. I've got communion. Pretty important I need to be there. But I just agree with everything both of them have said. I think that the only thing I would say is that I think there will be changes. But I reckon the manager wants to, I reckon he'll want to put on a show. And there'll be a sort of pretty strong starting lineup. I think maybe you'll see Adeguchi starting, but I think it would be alongside like Jota and Kyogo and things like that. I do think it would be a fairly strong lineup. I think we'll see changes provided it's gone comfortably. But again, the mantra, we'll never stop. I think that'll extend right to the end of the season. I think he'll want to. Obviously, it'll be a brilliant atmosphere. The place will be buzzing. And I think he'll want to put on a show for the fan and sort of really sign the season off in style. Hopefully, because similar to Darn, I'm needing Kyogo to rattle a couple of goals in. But no, I think I think it'll be a brilliant game just to watch. I do think, like you have said, I think Motherwell probably chucked it. They've probably been enjoying themselves, knowing that they've got a crack at Europe next season. I think that it'll be a fairly strong lineup. Although I do hope that Adeguchi does get a start, because it's, I think he's just unfortunate in the position that he plays in. Is one of the slots is occupied by our captain, and then the others just get so much talent about it, and sort of Tumble and Rogic and O'Reilly and Hatate. Like, he's just unfortunate that he plays in the middle of the park. But I do think he'll feature in that game because he's always there. So he's obviously working hard and sort of keeping his head down. Ange would then sign him otherwise. But aside from that, I reckon it'll be a strong side and they'll put on a show for the fans that are in the ground. In terms of a score, I'm going to say, I reckon it'll be a big one. I reckon they're going to do them 6-0. Hopefully Kyogo scores a lot.
I'm of the same opinion. I think we'll win 4-0, and then that'll get us to the 90-goal mark in the league. So I predict 4-0. I think O'Reilly will score 2, and Kyogo will score 2. Then I predict me, Andrew, Brian McLaren, and Lynch's after the game gone Toronto. So that's the end of the podcast. So thanks if you've listened throughout the season or even last season as well. This has been a lot more enjoyable and a lot less fucking stressful, and probably about 5,000 less listeners. But if you've listened to us throughout the season, thanks very much, and savour it, enjoy it, and hopefully everybody gets mad with it on Saturday. Adios, goodbye.
Good luck, Scott Brown.